Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Monday morning HRMC training call. This is Mark Riches joining the call from Cookeville, Tennessee. It's Monday, March 5th, 2018, and we are kicking off the month of March in a big way. I was just looking at our stats. We've got almost 100 new agents joining the HRMC team in just the last 5 days. So a big congratulations and welcome to them. I hope you're plugging in on this call. What a great way to start your business and a great way to start your week to be on these training calls. I was just thinking this morning, if a person misses one of these calls, it's probably not going to have a huge impact on their business and their income. But if they get in the habit of missing calls like this, and we do two main calls a week, you know, after a month, they've missed a lot of information. You know, 8 calls, 8 hours of information, and if they miss a year, I mean, it's 100 hours of information that you can miss out on by not developing the habit of being on these calls. And there's a call icon that shows up in your back office on your sponsor's AMS view when you're on these calls or listen to the playback. So if you ever miss the call, be sure to go back to the playback. You know, things are changing so fast and lots of exciting things happening, and it's so important to stay close to the fire and stay close to the information. And this is where it is on this call here this morning. I want to, first of all, congratulate Ms. Sheila Carman and Mr. Evan Westenskow. We just heard from them recently on our call. I was looking at the Legal Shield newsletter this morning that goes out every Sunday, and there they were, their pictures right on there, recognizing them as brand-new $50,000 income earners. I know that's not their ultimate goal. They've got a lot bigger goals than that, but we were super proud that the only two new ring earners in all of Legal Shield were from Harvard Risk Management this week, and just super proud of each of them for that accomplishment. And I know they've got their sights set on $100,000 as their next step. I want to take the call. We're so blessed this morning to have one of our newest, platinums. He's been a platinum now for 6 consecutive months. I mentioned this on Thursday's call, but we've got Mr. Jim Tanner joining us from Boston. Jim, I know you had a nice deposit put in your bank account last week from Legal Shield on a bonus that they pay out. For hitting that platinum 6 months in a row. I know you've now got your sights on another 6 months and staying there. You've got an incredible organization that you've built that's maintaining executive director status every single month. I'm super proud of you. Thanks for hopping on the call this morning. Please share with us your thoughts as we start a new month here.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Riches. Good morning to all of our Harvard agents, especially our newest Harvard agents. And absolutely. On Saturday morning, I woke up to a commission adjustment, what they call it at Legal Shield, on my commission sheet for $15,000, which is just a great way to wake up. I was on the road, I was traveling, and you know, it's my habit to check that first thing in the morning, even before I got a good cup of coffee in me. I want to see how we did the day before, and well, it turns out we did pretty good the day before. And as you mentioned, that's representative of the last 6 months of work of our organization within Harvard Risk Management. And I'm just so proud of my team. I want to brag on this platinum organization and how important it is to have people that are consistently focused on executive director, because without that, I wouldn't be here on this call as a platinum executive director. And also, where I come from, there's this saying that you don't forget where you come from. And I'm very aware of where I started in this business, and $15,000, honestly, would have taken me the better part of a year to earn in the job that I left to come and do this. And so I'm just so grateful for all of that. I'm also grateful for the support and the community at Harvard Risk Management. And I want to say this, you know, because we have so many new agents, and we have so many agents that are not new but have big goals for 2018. It's so, hopefully you're as inspired as I am to see what's happening around you, because it would be one thing to say, well, I need a great product. You've got a great product. We've got people that are marketing the product and having phenomenal success, writing business that stays on the books year after year after year. And you might be saying, you know, you were searching for a great system, and we have a proven system. As a matter of fact, there's no other system to market Legal Shield and ID Shield, anything like what Harvard Risk Management has, where we can prepare people from any walk of life, any background, any circumstances, as long as they have this one thing in common: drive, ambition, willingness to do the work, coachability, and they are willing to follow the system. Anybody can have a success story. Now, for some people like me, it's kind of a rags-to-riches story, where you go from having no income and no options to having incredible income and incredible choices. And for some people, like some of the folks I talk to every day, they're making great incomes, but they just have no time. They're saying no to everything they want to say yes to in their family. They're missing everything. They're missing birthdays and vacations and bedtimes and school days and sports and everything that is important to all of us and that so many of us take for granted that we get to do today. They're missing those things. And I want to say to those of you in that group, you can win here too. You can have an exceptional income that you're used to, but you can also have total control over your schedule, your life. You don't have to miss anything anymore. Before I turn the call back over to you, Mr. Richards, I just want to remind everybody that we are heading to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma next week. You wonder sometimes, well, what is the secret intangible between the people who've succeeded here and those who haven't? If we've got the same product and the same system and the same marketplace all across the country, how come some people do it and some don't? And I think about the first time you encouraged me, and I posted this on Facebook. I said, you know, I had all the reasons in the world to not go to my first Oklahoma City convention. I certainly didn't have the money. I wasn't sophisticated. I didn't know how to – I'd never flown on an airplane, so I ended up driving. I didn't have a very reliable car, but I took a chance on it. As a matter of fact, that chance – got me to Oklahoma City and got me back home, but it didn't get me much further than that. That car basically was on its last legs on the way home. But I took that chance. And you know, we ate dollar menu fast food and grilled cheese sandwiches that we made in the room and pasta and things we prepared to take with us. And we had a bunch of people in one hotel room. All of that uncomfortable stuff done back then so I can be incredibly comfortable today. And I'm here today because I was there that day. And I say all that to say, you know, there's people that have decided they're just not going to Oklahoma City. They've got plenty of legitimate reasons. They're busy. They don't think they can afford it. And I just remember, Mr. Richards, the way you said to me and probably to many others over the years, don't let the reasons you should be there be the reasons you're not there. And the fact is, I couldn't afford to go. But what was my choice, to continue to live that life or to seek a different path? And I think there's people on this call right now that have thought the same thing. Now, the $39 tickets that we had secured for all of our Harvard agents, those are gone. But I would encourage you, if you don't have a ticket to come to Oklahoma City, that even at full price, it's worth thousands of times what you're going to invest in getting your ticket and getting yourself there. However, if you're a little bit creative and you ask around on the Legal Shield Facebook groups, I'm sure you'll find that there's somebody somewhere that has a ticket, but I know that you can walk in and get the walk-in rate today, and I know it's worth it, and I know it's important to be there. Wherever you are in the United States and Canada, there's time to make arrangements and join us next week in Oklahoma City. I'm just so grateful, and I'm so impressed by all of the ring earners and the people that have big goals for 2018 and beyond, and I'm a humble member of the HRMC family and community, and I am unquestionably a product of this system that we have here at Harvard. I couldn't have done it without the team and the mentoring and the training that we have. And I'm grateful. And I can't say enough how much gratitude I have for this business, for this opportunity, and for the people who, in those early days, when I wasn't as driven to do things on my own as I am now, that they were so willing to tell me what I needed to hear, not what I wanted to hear, and provided me coaching and tough love so that I could be here with all of you today. Mr. Richards, thank you so much. And I'll turn the call back over to you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tanner. We appreciate you so much and your leadership, and excited to see you next week in Oklahoma City. I heard you use the phrase rags to riches story. you know, don't try and squeeze your way into our family too much. I know you can have our lifestyle, you can have our hairstyle, but be careful using our family name in a phrase like that. And one other thing I want to mention, you mentioned, you know, getting up and on Saturday morning having a $15,000 deposit. Nice. What a way to start your morning. It was $16,500 because he also got his platinum lifestyle bonus with that. But when you get checks like that, you really don't need coffee. So, I mean, when I get a big check like that, I don't have to drink any coffee. So anyway, proud of you. Congratulations and excited about your platinum journey. I want to take the call to Kentucky. We've got standing by Adam and Alicia Thompson. Adam and Alicia are brand new platinum executive directors. So they are part of the Jim Tanner Platinum Organization. Now you're creating other platinums in your organization. They were the number one producers for Harvard Risk Management Corporation last month with 153 personal membership sales. A great job, Adam, on that. We are super proud of you and Alicia and appreciate you guys so much. Tell us about your month, how you did it, and any thoughts that you have as a brand new platinum executive director.
Mark, Jim, thank you so much. Alicia and I are beyond humbled. We recognize that God is so good, and if you just put him first, everything else falls into line, and we're living that. We just had the best weekend ever as new platinums. Our reticular activating system tells us to look at the word platinum all the time, and we were somewhere yesterday, and they said, and if you get your new JCPenney card, and if you spend enough money, you'll get a platinum card. And I said, we're already there, you know. This is something that we've been planning on, and quite honestly, it's something that we didn't plan on happening this fast. It took us 44 months. In a nutshell, we were ready, and we were waiting on the right moment. We didn't know, you know, we didn't know when it was coming or how it was coming. The how will always work itself out. But out of nowhere, we received a phone call, and we were ready. We had been practicing and practicing as platinums without knowing it for 44 months. And we get a fateful phone call one morning recently, and we acted fast. You know, the universe and God, we love speed, right? So we love to do things quickly and be there. We jumped on this phone call, found out that someone had a need for what we market on a daily basis. We made ourselves available. We did the work. You know, I ended up driving about 6 hours, 5 days a week, all in a row. And we facilitated getting almost 300 employees enrolled in our benefits. We ended up using 150, and it took us, no joke, that long to get those enrolled for February. Today and tomorrow, we'll be enrolling the rest of them for March, so we'll have our second month platinum. And you better believe that everything we've got is going to be poured into April to get that third platinum month and all the ones after, of course. But that third platinum month will get us a $10,000 way to go, Adam and Alicia bonus is what I'm calling it. So absolutely, this is the benefit that people need right now. If you don't think, like, for example, the great Renee McKnight and Linda Pitt and all these folks and Evan Westensko and all these folks that have taught us that you can find the big ones every once in a while. If you just make yourself available, you better believe we've got our business card everywhere. We doubled up on, I was ordering 500, then 1,000, now 2,000 business cards. We have really focused on getting our name out there to make sure that not if, but when these benefits are needed, that people know that it's us, Adam and Alicia Thompson, in our community, in our state, and in our region, that make it available. They pick up the phone, they call us, we say, absolutely, I put some other stuff on hold, and I raced to make it happen, and we made it happen. I want to end with this. Start walking right now. If you can't fly and if you can't drive and you can't find a ride, even on the HRMC Facebook page and the HRMC agents Facebook page and the Legal Show page, if you can't find a ride to Oklahoma City, start walking now. Put it in your GPS. It's the Cox Convention Center. Find a way to get there. Don't stop until you get there, and make sure you take the best notes you've ever taken, because that event, that's the event, the catalyst that changed my business. I will never miss one of those events, and it changed everything for us, and we're living proof of it right now. It's brand new platinums. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you, Adam. We appreciate you. Congratulations on Platinum 2 months in a row. Fantastic job on that, and can't wait to see you next week, you and Alicia, in Oklahoma City. It's going to be an incredible event. We've got our featured trainer standing by, Mr. Mike Rich is the president of HRMC. He's got a phenomenal training lined up. I've got four quick announcements before we go to him. Number one, proud to announce we've got some brand new videos. One of our goals in February and March is to fully update our individual sales training. What this training portal's for is when a person comes through the new agent training, they get a lot of information on selling plans and how the compensation plan works and the product. But we created this individual sales training really to support and help agents that want to just continue marketing the plans. And there's never been a more important time to make sure that all of us are Performance Club qualifying every single month. They've got more money, millions of additional dollars poured in that program, all the incredible incentive trips that are available for a year now. So we want to make sure every Harvard agent's Performance Club qualified, and that's what this training portal's for. It's for additional training, because that's what Harvard Risk Management is. We're a training and support organization. And so I'm really excited to announce there's six new videos in that individual sales training section. Obtaining referrals is a brand new one we just added. The Legal Shield Performance Club, be sure to check that one out if you haven't already. It's an entire 20 minutes on exactly how the Performance Club program works and how you qualify for those incredible extra dollars every month. Here's a new one, Where to Find Prospects, where it breaks down literally dozens of places you can go to find prospects right now to sell memberships to. So check those new videos out. We've got a lot more coming. I think there's 9 more scheduled to be put in there this month. So by the end of March, our goal is to have that individual sales training section all updated, fully ready. Another big announcement. Appreciate my brother Mike putting this together, but we've added the quizzes back into the new agent training. Why are we telling you this? Because if you're recruiting new agents, you need to don't tell them there's no quizzes, because now there is. We uploaded those on Friday of last week. But it's a kind of a different format. There's no scoring, so there's no way to fail our quizzes anymore. They don't have to pass anything. It's just it's really quizzes after each of the video segments, some questions that ask pertinent information about that video, and then if you answer it correctly, it gives you a nice green check and says, great job, that's the right answer. And then if you answer it incorrectly, it gives you a red X, but it tells you what the correct answer is. And then you go to the next question. So it's one of those very simple quiz processes. It does make them – our goal here is to make sure that our new agents coming through the training process are focusing on the information and not just checking completed boxes. Another great addition that this new quizzing process allows is it automatically checks the completed box. So no longer does an agent have to go over there and most people have that down, but there were some technical issues on some of that. But now when they finish the, say, 2 quizzes after that video segment, it automatically is going to show that completed and take them to the next video. So check that out. That's all up and live and working really well, and we appreciate Mike Rich's putting all that together for each of us so that we can utilize that with our new agents. Another quick announcement is as we rolled out the new Legal Shield rates in January, there were a few states excluded from that, and Georgia was one of those at the time. And let me give you the other states real quick. If you go to the top of the new agent training, it lists them. North Carolina, Nevada, Massachusetts, and New York. But Georgia was one of those, but Georgia now has the 2495 plan. So Georgia is no longer an exemption. They have the full new product, the 4990 combo, and just like the other states. And so there's now only 4 states. I'll say them again, but I won't try and pronounce Massachusetts. I'll just say Mass. But North Carolina, Nevada, Mass, and New York have different rates than the other states. And there's a chart in the back office on the new agent training page that kind of shows the rates for that page. But anyway, check that out, and just be aware that Georgia now is no longer excluded with a different rate table. And we've updated all of our pricing online, including the HRMC plan site, to reflect that. Last announcement, and this is a big one, this Wednesday from 9 to 11 a.m. Central Time, we will be launching an all-new B2B certification webinar. This is all updated with the brand new 2018 program. And so if you're already B2B certified, be sure to listen in on this. It's a webinar, so you can view it and listen and watch it and get that important information, that updated information. If you're not B2B certified, this would be a great time to get B2B certified. Simply go to your certifications section of the website over there, and you'll see a B2B certified, and click on that, and that gives you all the instructions of exactly how to get that done. This allows you to go market the Legal Shield and ID Shield plans as an employee benefit to companies. And Mr. Mike Riches will be hosting the webinar this Wednesday. Again, we appreciate you, Mike, putting that together. I'm excited about the all-new updated webinar, and that's going to be this Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. or 11 a.m. Central Time. And you can click on the calendar in the back office to get all the information and register for that event this Wednesday. Well, I'm super excited about our special guest trainer this morning. My younger brother, 14 years younger, one of the youngest Millionaire Club members in Legal Shield history. So, you know, it's one thing to become a millionaire in the company, and there's been hundreds of people that have done that, but he's one of the youngest ever. And it's because of his focus on following the system and his incredible discipline. He has qualified for executive director every single month since he got started many years ago, except one month, and he'll share that story from time to time. But, you know, it's just an incredible example of consistency and persistency and tenacity and just focusing on following the system and on top of all of that, of staying at executive director and hitting platinum and building a platinum organization, he has an amazing family of five beautiful children and an incredible wife, and they spend a lot of time together as a family and really believe in quality family time. You know, and on top of all that, he spends a lot of time serving as our president of the company without any kind of salary. You know, we've never paid him any salary for doing what he does. He just does it to help each of us. And, of course, he's building his organization, but many of us are not part of his organization. I'm not part of his organization. I'm his sponsor. He's part of my organization, but I'm not part of his organization, and yet he truly pours out so much time, so much energy. He recently flew to Nashville, Tennessee with Mr. Jim Tanner and spent several days updating many of the B2B training videos, some of which are up now and really, really great, valuable information. And I'm telling you, he did all that on his own dime, and he cares about people, and he cares about serving, and that's a big part of his life and his legacy, and we appreciate you, Mike, joining us from Dallas, Texas this morning. I know you're going to be talking about the art of closing the deal, such an important topic. As we have, you know, it's a big miss for a lot of people. They miss closing and miss, you know, locking it up. And I appreciate you taking some time this morning, being on the call, taking time away from your business and your family to help each of us. We've all got our pens and papers ready to take note, and I'll turn the call over to you.
Well, fantastic, Mark. Thank you very much, and thank you for your kind words as always, and appreciate you and your leadership. And I really want to thank Mr. Jim Tanner and Mr. Adam Thompson for what they shared already on the call this morning. I hope that for those of us that are listening in, I hope that we can celebrate these accomplishments as a team and as a company and as an organization. You know, I personally think it's great that Mr. Jim Tanner gets a $15,000 bonus. And you know, now I don't get any of that bonus. That doesn't end up in my bank account. But in reality, that's not an individual win. It's a team win.
And I know that that bonus that he got, even though none of those actual dollars end up in my bank account, I know that it's going to help me build my business. I know it's going to, A, motivate me, but B, it's also going to give me a story that I can now go share. I mean, how many people are out there right now talking about how people in their companies are getting $15,000 bonuses? I mean, that's not something that happens every day in corporate America, and yet you and I have that kind of an opportunity. The same thing with Mr. Adam Thompson. I mean, how many people do you know right now that are getting $10,000 bonuses, and that's exactly what Adam and Alicia are going to get after hitting that for the third month in April, hitting the platinum level from their own production for the third month in April. And I just want to, I love hearing that, because even when I was not getting those kinds of bonuses and when I was not earning that kind of income, when I was first getting started in this business, I enjoyed hearing those types of stories because it was motivational to me. And it made it very real to me. I like knowing that people are getting $10,000 and $15,000 bonuses. I like knowing that people are having $30,000 and $40,000 months, because that's real. And it, and I wanted that. Even though I wasn't getting that at the time, I wanted it. And so it was great to be able to hear those types of experiences, because it made it real to me. I hope that we all feel that way. I hope that there aren't people out there that are thinking, well, that's good for them, that does nothing for me. If that's your attitude, I think that you're really missing a big piece of the puzzle here in this business, because we are a team, we are a family, and one individual's success really does lead to other people's success. And I've just seen that true over and over and over again for the past 16 years that I've been doing this. And so I thank those guys and congratulate them and celebrate with them, and know that we have much to look forward to, and we're going to have a lot more things to celebrate in the near future as well. I also want to add my congratulations to Mr. Evan Westenscoe and Ms. Sheila Carmen. Again, Mark, I thought that was so cool to open up that newsletter, as you said, and see that the two new ring earners this week in all of Legal Shield were both part of our Harbiter's Management organization. You know, how cool is that? And both of those individuals are wonderful, wonderful people. Two people that I've had the absolute honor and privilege of working with personally, and I just could not be happier for them. And I know for both of them that first ring is just simply a pit stop on the way to where they're going. And I know both of them are focused on continuing to grow and continuing to develop. And we just couldn't be more excited for those two individuals as well. I did want to take some time today to really give you some training. And you know, we invest our time every Monday to get on this call, and I hope that we do so with the intention to learn and to improve and to get better. I think motivation, you could say a lot for motivation. You know, to me, getting on this call every Monday is a great way to start my week. Mark, you mentioned that at the beginning of the call. It's a great motivating way for me to start my week, to hear trainers that we have every week that get on and speak to us and do such a fantastic job. I mean, I hang up the phone more ready to go out and excel in what I'm about to do today and this week and moving forward than before I picked up the phone. And so, you know, I think that there is something to motivation. I've always thought that there's something to motivation. I think that when you go to Oklahoma City next week, I hope that you're motivated by that. I hope that there's something that's, you know, sparks something inside of you and me that makes us do more than we otherwise would. I mean, that's all part of the whole deal. And that's certainly part of something that we take very seriously, a responsibility that we have to provide some of that motivation for all of us. And I say that as part of the leadership team here at HRMC. I mean, we take that very seriously. I like the argument between Zig Ziglar and Jim Rohn, who you know, they would always kind of go back and forth of which is more important, education or motivation. And Jim Rohn was a big, you know, you got to educate first and then you motivate. You got to teach them how and then teach them why. And Zig Ziglar was always the exact opposite. He said, no, you've got to motivate people and then teach them how to go do it. And they would go back and forth on that. The reality is they're both right. I don't know which is more important, but I know this, they're both very important. And on that note, I hope that it's not just motivation that we get on this Monday call for. I hope that whether you've been here for 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, or 10 years, that all of us are always seeking to get better. I always respect those who are active participants in these types of training opportunities. I respect those who are listening. Not that I haven't listened to calls while I'm driving or different things, but I really respect when people will really take these kinds of trainings seriously, the trainings that we provide on Monday mornings, and really, you know, take a pen and paper, really be trying to take notes and improve and get better. And I know that as I've done that over the last few years, over my entire career, that I've really benefited from this type of setup, from these types of opportunities, and I'm really grateful for that. And so I say all that to just kind of by way of introduction, say that when I have the opportunity to come speak on a call like this, it's something that I take really seriously. And I know our other trainers feel the exact same way. You know, it's not something I like to throw together, you know, the last second or just kind of come up with off the cuff, because I realize that there are people listening that maybe something that I share today could really make a difference in your business. And so I want you to know that I take that seriously. I really try to think of things that would be really helpful, and I think about people that I know that I work with, and I don't work with every agent individually. I don't have the privilege of you know, calling every agent every day. Obviously, our company is too big for me to be able to do that, and you know, I wish that I could, but I can't. But I do work with a lot of people individually, and I think I work with enough people to get a pretty good handle on where people excel naturally and where people maybe have a harder time succeeding in our business. And as I look at our employee benefit system specifically, so for those of us that are out there calling on companies and working with groups, I look at those five steps of our system. Step number one, you got to get qualified leads. Step number two, you've got to go prospect those leads. You got to call and set an appointment, or go in and set an appointment. And then, you know, that appointment becomes step number three, the decision maker meeting. And when we're in that decision maker meeting, we want to set up step number four, an enrollment, and then retention and servicing groups and how important that is. As I really look at that system, and I look at people like Adam Thompson, who are having just phenomenal success. I look at people like Evan Westensko and Sheila Carman, who are brand new ring earners and are excelling at executive director qualification. And they're using that system. And then I look at others who are out there calling on companies, but they're not having the same levels of success. And I wanted to look at the system and identify, you know, where is it that, for lack of a better phrase, where is it that we tend to lose people? Where is it that people struggle? And there are skills that need to be developed all throughout the entire system. But there are probably two areas that I've been able to pinpoint in doing this for 16 years now. There are two areas that I can look at and say, you know what, those are the two areas that I think people struggle the most. And the first is when it comes to prospecting. You know, I don't think it's a question there so much of skill as it is just doing it. I really believe that one, because I've seen people that have gotten on the phone and prospected, and they're really not good on the phone. and they really don't have a good phone personality, and they don't have a good phone voice, and you know, all the things that you would think would make a great prospector on the phone, they don't have any of them, and yet they still set appointments, okay? And it's just because they make up in activity what they might lack in skill. So that one, prospecting, it, I think, is more of a question of, are you willing to do it or are you not? Because you know that you need to. You know that you're really supposed to. You're not fooling yourself to believe that you're going to just magically open groups if you haven't prospected. Guys like Adam Thompson are not out there writing 150 sales in a month because they never went out and prospected companies. Okay, so we all know that it's important. But the question is, did you do it last week? Like, how many companies did you actually call last week? Are you measuring that number? Do you know that number? And is the number sufficient? And you know, last week you can't really do anything to change, but what about this week? You know, how many actual companies are you going to actually call this week? How many prospecting calls or, again, stop-ins are you going to actually make? Because that, you either are going to do it or you're not. Now, again, this is one of those two areas that I think people struggle in, but I don't think it has to do with they're trying and trying and trying and it's just not happening. I think it's they're just not trying. They're talking about it. They're thinking about it. They're wanting to do it and whatever. But at the end of the day, they get, you know, fear of rejection gets in their way, or they allow distractions to get in their way, and they just don't prospect the way that they the volume of prospecting that they really need to do. The second area that I think people kind of struggle in, that I've seen people struggle in, and this is where I really want to spend our time this morning. The second area is that when you're doing the decision maker meeting, when you go and meet with that decision maker, so you know, you call them and set an appointment on the phone, but I've just seen a lot of people struggle with turning those decision maker meetings into enrollment. And you know, I thought about that. Why is that so difficult sometimes to get a decision maker to actually commit to a date and bring you in to meet with his or her employees? And the reality is you're asking a lot of that decision maker. It may not seem that way because the company that you're working with in most cases is not going to be paying for the coverage. So we're not asking them for a check. We're not asking them for payment. But we are asking them for something that's much more valuable than money, and that's time. We're asking for their time to set up an enrollment, to prepare for that, to get everything ready. We're asking for their time to administer this plan, to set up, in most cases or some cases, a payroll deduction, and to handle billing on an ongoing basis. We're asking for time that their employees are going to meet with us. I used to love how Don Wilson, who's an executive director here in the Dallas area for Legal Shield, he used to train on that. He said, you know, when he was meeting with a decision maker, he never said it doesn't cost anything. He said it's absolutely going to cost you something. It's going to cost you 15 minutes of your employee's time. He was setting that expectation right up front. That was their investment. And he talked about how it's a great investment, how they'll make up way more in productivity than what they're going to invest giving them that 15 minutes. But it was a great way that he was getting optimal enrollment settings by saying that right up front. We're also asking these decision makers, in some cases, to risk something maybe even more valuable than their time, and that's their reputation. You know, you got to think about a decision maker, an HR person who's sitting there saying, what if this doesn't go well? What if we offer this and nobody likes it? What if employees complain? And you say, well, why would they complain? All you're doing is offering them a good service. Well, employees are weird sometimes. They complain about weird things. And that decision maker's probably had complaints from employees when they thought that they were doing something good. And the employee came back and said, all you're trying to do is take more money out of my paycheck and stuff like that. So all of these things, you know, go together. And it's why this is not an easy step. This is why this is a step that takes work. It takes skill. It takes practice to be able to develop this. Now, I'm not saying it's as hard as some of the other stuff that you're going to have to learn in life. When learning how to be a parent's a lot harder than this. Learning how to, you know, to do other things, that, you know, there are careers where people will spend 10 years in school learning how to do stuff that what we're talking about here is not anywhere close to that being that hard, but it is a skill. It's something that you're going to have to maybe be bad before you can be good. And you're going to have to need to learn or want to learn how to do this part of the system. It's just like my daughter was out on Saturday night. She was riding her bike. And we had her ride in the backyard because there's grass out there. So when she fell, it wouldn't hurt her near as bad. I know that that's kind of a catch-22 because it's harder to ride in grass than it is on cement. But she was out there, no training wheels, you know, really learning how to ride her bike. And it was just interesting to hear some of her language because she would fall and she would say, I can't do this. I cannot learn how to do this. This is impossible. And my wife and I are like, man, we need to practice more positive self-talk in our family. But it was so interesting to hear her just this sense of defeat that she was never going to learn how to do this. And in reality, she's only a few falls away from being an excellent bike rider. And I know that. And my wife knows that. And you know that. But the problem is she doesn't know it yet. And that's where faith comes in. Sometimes you just got to keep on going and keep on trying to improve and keep on trying to get better and skin your knees a few times and fall a few times. And then all of a sudden you pick it up and it starts to go well. And all of a sudden the things change for you. And some of you are kind of in that point in your business right now where you've done a couple decision maker meetings and you haven't scheduled any enrollments or you've done more than a couple. And you're just in that part. My biggest message to you this morning is continue to learn. Continue to get better. Continue to try to improve. Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. So don't just practice, but learn and develop. Ask yourself, what could I be doing better? Get some feedback. Record a decision maker meeting. Get some feedback and get some help. But at the end of the day, keep on riding. Keep on going. Don't throw the bike down and say, this is impossible, I'll never learn it, because that attitude will stop you. That's the only thing that could stop you from having success in what we do. Now, to give you some tips this morning on really closing the deal when it comes to a decision-maker meeting, I want to talk about four different things. I want to talk about what makes a great decision-maker meeting. I want to talk about what decision is being made. And I want to talk about what you need to determine in a decision-maker meeting. And then fourth, I want to talk about the closing language and attitude that's going to help you close the deal. So let's go through these four. Number one, what makes a great decision-maker meeting? And let me just be real blunt on this. To me, and different people feel differently about this, that's okay, but I'm just going to share my perspective. To me, a great decision-maker meeting is the one where you schedule an enrollment. So I've said this before, but you know, I've had people that call me on the phone and they say, man, I just had a great decision maker meeting. And my first question is always, great, when is the enrollment? Because if you had a decision maker meeting where the decision maker was giving you all the buying signals and nodding his or her head and asking the right questions, all of that is good. But if you walked out with someone that you're going to follow up with, it's not that that's bad. That's good, but it's not great, okay? So let's just call a spade a spade. Getting a decision maker to be interested is the easy part. It's not hard to get a decision maker interested in what we do. I've met with, I don't even know, hundreds, I don't know, thousands maybe, but I mean, just countless. How about that? Countless decision makers in 16 years of doing this. And I can probably count on one hand, maybe two, the number of times that I've met with a decision maker and they were not interested. They just really didn't have much interest in what we do. In other words, the vast, vast, vast majority of the time, they're interested. That's easy. The hard part is getting them to commit to a date. That's what makes a great DM meeting. Now, that doesn't mean that's going to happen every time. Because I think you could line up the best of the best in Harvard Risk Management. And I think at best, you're talking the top of the top, cream of the crop, are probably closing the deal maybe 30%, maybe 40% of the time. And I'm talking, that's the best of the best. Now, my number was always 25%, is always. That's my goal. 25% of the time, I want to close that meeting on the spot. I want to walk out with a date 25% of the time, which means 75% of the time, I'm not going to have a date, and then that's okay. Again, that doesn't mean they're not interested, but I'm just going to have to follow up with those people and follow up again and follow up again and follow up again and follow up again and follow up again. Because as we talked about, I think, on the roundtable call this past Friday, you know, follow up, you're going to meet with some of these decision makers and they're going to seem like they're super interested and it's just like going so well. And then you say, I'm going to follow up with you, and that's when they join the witness protection program and they disappear. And my advice on Friday and my advice to you today is when that happens, keep calling them. Don't ever make the mistake of assuming that someone is not interested in what you do, because they are, but they're busy. And so you got to understand, they're trying to manage 50 different things on their plate, and this is one of them. And it's an important one, but there are others that are maybe more important to them right now today. And that's why you keep calling 10 times, 15 times, 20 times, 30 times, and you email and you stop by in person, which is the most effective thing to do. And you do everything you can to follow up, but until they tell you don't call them anymore, keep calling them. Keep trying. Don't call a couple times and send a couple emails and there's no response, and then you just assume that they're not interested anymore, that they talked to somebody and got, you know, disaffected or whatever, because that's not the case. They are interested, and if you are planting seeds and not harvesting those seeds, someone else will come along and harvest those seeds for you. And we don't want to see that happen to any of our agents, so keep following up. But again, going back, 25% of the time I want to walk out with a date, because if I can get a date at the meeting, it's a whole lot easier to get it there and lock it down there than it is to follow up, follow up, follow up, follow up. Not that follow up's not important. It is. But I want to get it as much of the time as I can right there on the spot. So to me, that's what makes a great decision maker meeting, is if I'm able to do that. Now, what decision is being made? Number two, let's talk about this for a second. And I just want you to understand, and I'm going to say this very bluntly, but I hope that I'm not offensive, but people are doing business with you. They're not doing business with Harvard Risk Management Corporation. They are doing business with you. And so I say that to say this. Scott Brooks is going to go into companies this week, and he's going to get a yes on this. Stephanie Panchishan is going to meet with companies, and she's going to get a yes on this. Adam Thompson is going to go meet with companies, and he's going to get a yes on this. Sheila Carman is going to go meet with companies, and she's going to get a yes on this. And I could go on and on and on, name after name after name after name. Now, they offer the same products. They're working in the same industries. They are representing the same firm as you are. So if they're going out there and they're getting yeses, and you're getting no's or not yets, or you're not getting yeses, or you're getting this sounds really good, call me back, understand that the common denominator there is everything but you. Okay, so you're the difference, and that's a good thing, or it can be a bad thing. To me, it's a great thing, because you can control you. And there are so many opportunities out there, so many jobs that you could go get where it doesn't depend on you, you know, where it depends on someone else. It depends on other people in your company that have to approve or deny. It depends on, you know, whether suppliers are going to come through and whether deadlines are going to be met. And with what we do, it really is up to you. I mean, it is in that sense one of the most core and fundamental businesses in the world, because if you're going to succeed, it is really up to you. If it's up to me, it's up to me. If it's going to be, rather, it's up to me. And listen, that's a great thing, because you can work on you. And you can't always control every other factor, but you can work on you. So you can become more professional in the way that you dress and the materials that you use and the language that you have. You can show more genuine care and concern for your clients, their business, and their employees. You can get better at building relationships of trust, because you've got to be trustworthy in this. People have to believe you They have to believe that you really, that you believe in what you're doing. They have to feel that from you. They have to trust that you're going to do the right thing for them and for their employees. And some people have gotten really good. Some of our agents have gotten really good at being able to meet someone and within minutes establish that kind of trust. And some people haven't quite refined that skill just yet, and they're still working on it. Well, a great book there, The Speed of Trust by Stephen M. R. Covey. The Speed of Trust by Stephen M. R. Covey. Great book about doing that. But you know, again, is that a skill that you're willing to build? Is that, but understand that that's the decision that's being made. It's not a decision of whether they're going to offer this benefit or not to their employees. The decision that they're making is whether or not to do business with you. And when you really get that, that allows us now to go work on some of those fundamentals that we're going to have if we're going to get yeses, if we're going to be able to close the deal. Now, let me talk about my third point. Two things that you got to determine in a decision-maker meeting. So you might jot these down. Two things that when you're meeting with a decision-maker, you're going to need to determine. Number one, what's the goal of the meeting? Now, some of you are saying, well, you just said the goal of the meeting is to set an enrollment. Well, I agree. That's the long-term goal. But sometimes that's not the actual goal of this particular meeting. And where it really makes a difference is we have to determine if this is an actual decision maker or not. If it's not a decision maker, then my goal is not, then my goal of this meeting is not going to be to set an enrollment. If I'm meeting with someone that's not going to be able to pull the trigger, then I can ask all day long for the enrollment, but they're never going to give it to me. So, again, what I've got to determine, the first thing I've got to determine, what am I actually trying to do at this meeting? If I determine that this person is really not the decision maker, now that doesn't mean that they have to be the owner of the company, the final person that says yay or nay, but what I'm really getting at here is how much power do they have? How much authority do they have? Because there are a lot of people that are in HR, that they're an HR director, and they've got a controller that they report to. They've got the CEO of the company and the CFO of the company. They've got a lot of people above them, but they have enough authority that they can approve you to come in. At least they can give you a date. So I'm going to give you some factors here that you can look at in a second, but that's really a big question. What am I really trying to get out of this? And if it's a decision maker, then I'm trying to get a date for the enrollment. If I feel like the person has the authority to be able to do that, that's going to be my goal, is to get a date for the enrollment, even if it's a tentative date because they still need to, check it with a few people or get ownership's buy-in or something like that. I'd rather walk out with a tentative date than no date at all. So that's going to be my goal in a meeting, if I feel like the person has the authority to give that. But if I don't feel that way, if the person that I'm meeting with doesn't have the authority to give me a date, then I'm going to go for something else. My goal of that meeting might become to meet with, set up a second meeting with their boss. Or here's a good one, to set up a sample lunch and learn for their HR department or for a select number of their staff so I can show them what I would be showing their employees. Maybe like Brian Fahili talked about on the call last week, where he talked about presenting to that panel. It was a police jury that he was presenting to, but maybe that's the goal. Let's get a panel of employees together, or is there a committee that I could present to? So knowing what you're going for, I think, is important. When you're trying to determine whether the person is an actual decision maker or not, you got to look at things like the size of the company. Because if you're meeting with a company that has 1,000 employees and you're meeting with an HR director, that person probably has a lot less authority than if they have 70 employees and you're meeting with an HR director. So the size of the company, the title of the person, here's a big one. How long has that person worked at that company? Because I would feel more confident in an HR manager who's been there for 25 years to be able to have the authority to set a date and feel comfortable doing that than a vice president of HR that's been there for 3 months. they're probably not going to be quite there yet. And I'm, instead of trying to get a date for the enrollment, because I know that they're not going to be ready to give that most likely, I'm probably going to go more for one of those, you know, panel, or can we get a group of employees together and you know, present to them, kind of show you what this would look like. Perfect example, last week I went with Randy Moore, one of our agents here in the Dallas area. We went and did a decision maker meeting, and great company that Randy had set up. And as we were meeting with this decision maker, who was very interested, expressed a lot of interest, it just became evident to me that he was not going to be the one to say, yes, let's do this date, not even a tentative date. So our goal became to set up a lunch and learn for him, his boss, and a few other employees to give them an idea of what a lunch and learn with their employees would look like, to be able to make that presentation to a small group so that they could see what it would be like. And that was a much easier thing to get a commitment from him on than an actual date for the enrollment, because it was evident that he wasn't going to be in a position of authority to be able to give that date of the enrollment. I hope that that's helpful. The second thing that you've got to determine here, so the first thing, what's your goal of the meeting? The second thing is, when you do start getting into an enrollment, what kind of an enrollment are you going to shoot for? Is it going to be a mandatory meeting? Is it going to be a voluntary meeting? Is it going to be an open enrollment? Because to me, the way that you close the deal is going to have a lot to do with what kind of enrollment you're trying to set up. My preference above anything else is if they have some kind of pre-existing staff meeting or pre-existing safety meeting, you know, something where their employees are already getting together. That's always my preference, to be able to piggyback on that, take 10, 15 minutes of that pre-existing meeting and present what we do. To me, that's always better, because it's something that their employees are already used to going to. They, you know, they're going to show up. And the name of the game when you're talking about enrolling employees is access. You got to get access to the people. And to me, that's the best. When an employer says, no, we'll just call a meeting together specially for this, some agents, if they're new, they get real excited about that. They're like, oh, wow, they're going to do that just for me. I don't get excited about that. I would much rather, well, you've got your staff meeting every Wednesday at 8. Could I just take the first 10 minutes of that meeting and I'll bring some donuts or breakfast burritos? You know, I would much rather do something where their people are already used to being there than to try to do something new. So, because when you do it the other way, when they say, well, we'll call a meeting just for you, that's when people don't show up. And that's when they have 40 employees, but 10 show up at the meeting. Versus if you just did their staff meeting, you'd have all 40 there, because they're already planning on being there. So that's my preference. But the way that I close the meeting, the way the language that I use is going to depend on, you know, really what kind of enrollment I'm going to be setting up. Is it mandatory? Is it a voluntary meeting, like a lunch and learn? I'm going to close that a little bit differently. Is it open enrollment? You know, if it is, what kind of meeting is that? Is that a, you know, benefits fair? Is it employee meetings? You know, all of that, those are kind of the tricks of the trade. And it's why when you're first getting started, it's why we recommend working with a field trainer, because a field trainer has been through all of those scenarios, kind of knows, you know, when they go into an enrollment, what to expect, you know, how to set it up. I'm going to give you some resources here before I close that you can jot down that would help you in learning some of the skills of working with these different meeting types. I know I'm running out of time. Let me just share my fourth and final point here. And that is, I just think that there's something to having the right language when you are closing the deal. So once you've kind of determined, okay, this is, you know, they've got a staff meeting, that's what I'm going to shoot for. The person that I'm talking to, I feel like they've got the authority that they could, you know, at least give me semi-approval to come in, at least to where we could pencil in the date. Let me just teach you my favorite closing question. my favorite question to ask when you're closing the deal, and that is, do you mind if I look at my calendar? Do you mind if I look at my calendar? I love that question. I don't know where I first learned that, but I'm so glad that I did. Because if I can get that person to get into their calendar, that's the number one thing. Because then they're not thinking of yes or no, do we want to do this, or any of the objections. All they're thinking of is dates and times. So it's just, you know, for me, it's the same thing when I'm prospecting. If I can get them looking at their calendar, it takes their mind off of all of that other stuff, and we're just talking about dates and times. We're just calendaring. We're just trying to set up the right time and find the best day. So I love that closing question. Do you mind if I look at my calendar? Now, if it's voluntary, you know, if we're going to be doing a lunch and learn, I would ask another question before that one, and that is I would ask about what day of the week might work well to do a lunch and learn or a workshop or whatever the ball. If it's not a staff meeting, see, staff meetings are different because if they have a staff meeting every Wednesday at 8 a.m., you know the day that you're going to be looking for is going to be a Wednesday at 8 a.m. So the question is, do you mind if I look at my calendar? But if it's a lunch and learn, I like to ask it in two parts. I say, you know, is there a day of the week? Not a day, a day of the week. There's a little bit difference there. Is there a day of the week that would work well to do a lunch and learn? Maybe like a Thursday or a Friday. I'm going to let them answer, actually, you know, Friday would be a good day for us. And then, you know what I'm going to say after that? Do you mind if I look at my calendar? I'm right back to that closing question. And that allows me to kind of set it up the right way and to get their buy-in. I know I've gone over my time here, but let me give you just in closing four resources that you could go look at, four things that you could listen to or watch in the back office that could help you as you continue to develop this skill. Again, to me, this is one of the most important skills that you can develop. One of the most important things that you can do is focus on closing the deal. Getting a decision maker, not just to be interested, but to commit to a date and to do it as often as possible on the spot in that first meeting so you can avoid that tunnel of follow-up. Not that it's bad, but it's just easier to get them to say yes while it's fresh on their mind and strike while the iron is hot, so to speak. So four resources. Number one, Scott Brooks did a great training called Leave Nothing to Chance. That'll help as you start talking about setting up different enrollment types and, you know, how do you set up for a staff meeting versus a lunch and learn. And if you have not listened to Scott Brooks' training, Leave Nothing to Chance, that's a great one that I think that you would really enjoy. Another one that you could go, just type that in the search bar on your Harvard back office. If you just type in Leave Nothing to Chance, you'll see that training. It'll pop up. If you type in Overcoming Objections, there's a video that I did in Ada, Oklahoma a few years ago. It's a little bit dated, but I think the information is still very accurate. And if you just type in Overcoming Objections, I think it's the first video that comes up. Yep, it's called Overcoming the Objections in a DM Meeting by Mike Riches, where we get into a little bit more depth on some of what we talked about this morning. That would be another good one that you could listen to or watch. It's an actual video. The other two, and I'm not trying to self-promote, but these are just things that obviously I feel passionate about, so we spent some time putting some training together on them. But the other two are two videos that we just filmed a couple weeks ago. One is in the B2B certification training, and if you scroll down, it's the sample DM meeting with Mike Rich's commentary. And what we did on that one is we went through, and it's a sample decision-maker meeting, but you'll see little commentary pop up at the bottom that kind of explains why I'm saying the things that I'm saying and why I'm taking the approach that I'm taking. That would be really helpful for some of you before you go into your next decision-maker meeting to kind of really study that and then, again, record yourself and then go back and compare it to that commentary and see if you're able to do some of those things that we do in that sample decision-maker meeting. And then the final one, if you go to the advanced group training, It's in the second section there. It's called Bad Sample DM Meeting, What Not to Do. That's a video that we filmed, again, a couple weeks ago. And it, now, it, some of you, it will make you laugh. Some of you, it will make you cry. Some of it will just make you very uncomfortable and cringe. And that's okay, because it's everything that you could do wrong in a decision-maker meeting. That's what we try to put in this little 8-minute video. And sometimes it helps to see it done the wrong way to be able to learn how to do it the right way. And so, you know, that maybe take a look at that, and if nothing else, maybe get a chuckle or two seeing somebody fall flat on their face. But, Mark, with that, I don't need to take any more time. I know we've gone over our time, and I apologize for that this morning. But I hope that that is helpful for those who are out there meeting with decision-makers and companies this week to really work on that skill of closing and getting these enrollments set up so that at the end of the day, we can do what we do best, which is protect families and employees. And hopefully that helps. I appreciate your time.
Well, it sure does. Thank you so much. Powerful information. Great job, Mike. And, you know, excellent presentation. Lots of powerful information for us to start our week. And, you know, you can see what I'm saying, guys. If you miss one call, how much that could affect you. For example, last Thursday night on our leadership training call, we went over the March promotions. In fact, it was the whole call. We went over all of the promotions for the month of March. And we went over the ATM promotion, the 5 to Thrive, which gives you a free ticket to the Nashville Leadership Training, the Earn a PC Pass. Some of you missed that, and here we're on the 5th of the month, and you're not even aware of the promotions for March. Don't miss those calls. We have a Monday call and a Thursday call beyond those. If you miss that information and you're not aware of the 3 incredible incentives, especially that ATM, if you're not a manager, that's your promotion, and it runs only through the 17th. We're almost halfway through the promotion. Not quite, but, you know, go back and listen to the playback of that Thursday. It's under the leadership training calls, and get that information. There's also flyers in the recently added docs. Tamitha put them up there. We appreciate, again, so much hearing from Mr. Jim Tanner, Mr. Adam Thompson, and Mr. Mike Riches this morning. And we appreciate each of you joining us on the Monday morning call. I wish you a very successful day, and we'll join you on the B2B webinar this Wednesday. Talk to you soon.